This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
How's the man doing down there, Clifford D?
He's doing ready, but he's ready for breakfast. Can you tell? Look at him. He's not real happy with me right now.
Mountain lion, 40% mountain lion. Scratch your eyeballs
40%
out
mountain lion. That's right. Show 300. The claws are out this morning, too. I don't know if you can see the claws in high definition.
Believe me, I've felt the claws there in the back of my neck before. I know how that works.
What do you think?
Goes for the jugular. Okay?
You want to go?
Yeah, of course he wants to go. What do you think?
All right, there we go.
You think he likes position? All right. Get the cat hairs off the Chesterton Fuller sweatshirt. There you go. Now you look good. Now you look good.
The OTC is on walkabout now.
That's it.
So there you have it. Show 300. He had to, part of the terms of agreement we have with him, he has to appear on every milestone show. You know how that works.
That's a milestone show. There's no doubt. This is number 300. Yeah. And a lot of folks lost bets today. Right. I can tell you that right now. A lot of people lost bets today thinking this show never sniffed 300. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Merry Christmas. This is number 300. Get that all over you. For all you folks out there. I'm glad y'all lost
bets. All right. So we're playing blind resumes here to start the 8 o'clock hour.
Right down our alley.
You excited?
I am. We're normally pretty good when it comes to anything blind. We're going to be strong, I think, in this department. We'll see.
Josh Macri and Drew Brooks, the lead singers and driver of the Packer and Durham Winnebago, have cobbled all this together. And they are going to present files for us to look at. And then we're going to see if we can sort out who it is, Pack.
Let's try it.
Let's
do it.
Are you ready?
Yes, been ready since 3:30. Let's go.
All right, gentlemen. Offer the first one, please. Strength of schedule, 69. Strength of record rank, always a favorite. BPI, 37. Net ranking, 99.
Ugh. I can honestly tell you, I have no idea. The BPI is irrelevant to me. I don't even bother with that. Golly, strength of schedule rank 69. This could be so many teams in this league. Net 99. So first of all, you see the net ranking at 99. So we're going to talk middle of the pack here. You know what? How about a Duke? How about Duke at 99? I'm going to guess Duke.
Duke. I'm going to go Georgia Tech.
That's a good call too.
All right.
Oh! The blind back leading the blind.
Oh my gosh.
The blind Pat
got it right.
Blind. I am done. Can I quit now and just go get an ice cube and get a head start on the weekend? No.
No.
Okay. Out of bounds, by the way, ref.
Let me ask you a question.
Speaking of blind, the referee missed the call in that video.
Oh, now see, really?
I'll tell you what, run the video back and tell me the kid didn't step out of bounds 2 feet in front of the referee.
Okay.
Again, be transparent. Referee missed the call. But yeah, Duke 99 the net. That was I thought they were in the neighborhood.
All right, are you concerned the Blue Devils have a week off, Pack? We talked about this yesterday, and the more I think about it, the more I may be more concerned about the week off than I am what Duke does.
I told you this after when we were going over the next day's tape of Virginia Tech Duke. I said to you, my concern about Duke is number one, Coach K doesn't know their identity because they don't play. I mean, they took basically December off. They were not impressive against teams with a pulse. Virginia Tech's got a pulse. They never led in the game. And we're not going to get another answer about Duke for another week. It's a major – I'm not telling you they can't get back to where they want to be. What I'm saying is you don't get better sitting in the basement like me all day. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's not going to get you to be where you want to go. So, I'm really concerned about that. No question.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. All right. Let's go to number two here. That's a ooh! Look at these numbers.
Yuck.
This is a little further up the chain, I think.
Net rankings.
A little further up the chain.
Okay, if Duke's 99, net ranking 62, that gives me somebody in front of Duke. So how about I'm going to go Syracuse.
Syracuse? I'm going to go Virginia Tech.
Pitt. I got to tell you something. Honestly, that was going to be my second pick was Pitt. I figured that was in the neighborhood, too.
Wow. Man,
You know, that got to be honest with you. That kind of makes sense. I mean, we really haven't seen a lot of these guys either. I mean, they're 2-1 in the league. And this game right here, of course, that's who they're going to see coming up next, coming back from 100.
Yeah, big ball game tomorrow at noon, by the way. Big game.
Boys Oof. On the road. Yeah, Pitt's, you know, I wish Pitt were healthy. You know, I wish Champagny was healthy.
Man, I love Champagny. Ooh,
Tony,
no,
and you know, those guys healthy could stick their nose in somebody's business. And we don't really talk about them because we just don't see them, right? It's kind of like a lot of teams in the league. But Pitt's one of those teams, when healthy, they could cause a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, they're 6-2. Their last win was Syracuse.
I'm saying
their last game was Syracuse.
I just said
their last game. I mean, I know it's just crazy how this works. Yeah, okay. That number surprises me. Good for them though. And man, you got to hope that some of this pause has allowed Champagne to heal up quicker, right? Aldis Tony was back. You know, so let's see what happens, right?
Yep,
they've lost a lot of games, though. Man, they've lost some games. All right, let's go. How many more we got left? Couple more?
Four.
Okay, we got – let's go then. We don't want to run into the block here. All right, now I got to start thinking toward the front.
Yep.
BPI 24, net ranking 17, strength of record rank. I've got to sort that one out, by the way.
That's 17.
Louisville.
Louisville. I was thinking Louisville too on this. I was thinking Louisville, Virginia Tech in the neighborhood. I think you might be right on that. That sounds about right. Ooh, missed that one. Missed that one.
Really?
17 for the net.
Clemson does have good wins, though. That's strength of record rank. There you go. Remember that. Remember how many wins they've got against Power Five, right? Telling you now, Virginia.
Well, that was my point.
This
going to
be a hard. This going to be a good.
That was my point to you last hour about Clemson's already been battle tested. I mean, they've seen Power Five teams and they've had great success. Virginia's schedule has been, with the exception of getting blown out by Gonzaga, has been a little less than adventurous, right? And I do think that matters, especially if you think it's going to be a close, low-scoring game. The toughness factor, I absolutely think, falls to Clemson's way tomorrow. But that doesn't mean you're going to win the game. But I mean, I'd rather have it than not have it.
Tigers are 2-0 in 5 or less or overtime, and they've won the only overtime game so far in ACC play. So, all right, let's go next.
Uh-oh. The boys have put us in the deep freeze.
No.
They've gone four corners.
Oh,
Phil Ford called and went.
Well, I haven't gotten one right. I haven't gotten one right yet, so there's been a problem. Oh, here we go. Strength of schedule rank. Strength of record rank is 9.
Strength of record 9. Which means
so that's somebody with a really good overall.
Yeah, net ranking 33. You know what? I'm going to go Virginia Tech here.
I'm going Louisville.
All right, let's see what we got. Wow. Where'd that come from? Strength of record.
Can we go back to the first screen real quick?
That's a curveball there. I mean, look at those net ranking numbers. Strength of schedule ranked. Strength of record.
Ninth.
I don't get it. I'm sorry. That's a beyond the curve.
And then the net rank is 33rd, and then I now go to the schedule.
The strength of
the
record
net ranking
rank
is 33rd.
Yeah, the strength of ninth? Record rank is the one that threw me for a loop there. I mean, no disrespect. Gonzaga is great. Now, what else you got on that list? Towson. I mean, San Francisco is at least
wait,
over
500. Todd Golden, 88th.
That's schedule of record strength. Somebody needs to explain that one to me because there's a bunch of bad numbers on that list. I don't really get that one.
Cavaliers are...
Gosh, where'd that come from?
I mean, is Gonzaga that strong in the net pack?
Well, Gonzaga's the best team
in the
country.
Are they that much of a behemoth?
Yeah, but I mean...
Oh, well, but...
If you take the Zags off that list... Tell you what, there's
you have one other 100 ranking.
There's a
opponent.
Lot of cupcakes, I got to tell you. There's a lot of bakery products on that list. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm buying that one. That could be a typo.
Cavaliers, by the way, this game tomorrow at Clemson's big. You saw why. It's only their third top 100 opponent, according to the net. I think Virginia's got something going here. How much, I don't know. That's the, you know, they played well the other night against Notre Dame. Casey Morsell coming in, having a big ball game for him. That was good to see.
Made shots.
We know how explosive Walden Tensai can be. Jay Huff's playing all ACC level. So,
Well, we're proving the blind
part.
One
more?
And the resume extremely well.
Yeah, we're blind. Oh, we're definitely doing the blind part. We have one more. Is that right?
Okay. We have a couple more. We screwed up the Virginia number there. The reason for the slight.
No, wait a second. Hold on.
Their schedule rank was 39.
The smart people. No wonder why we're blind.
Wait. We need on-air lumberjacks before over under to come describe what it
is. I'm on air right now. And, we screwed that one up.
I mean, is the microphone on?
It's the blind leading the blind.
So, wait a minute. Are you giving us wrong info? Is that why we're doing so well in this segment?
Yeah. No. I set you up to fail. So, happy 300.
Awesome. I love it.
Macker, you're the best, dude.
I got to tell you,
you guys are awesome.
Let me tell you, that strength of record thing, I'm looking at numbers at 300s and 158s and 212s. And
nine?
Wait a minute. They're nine. How does that work? Is Mark Emmert in charge of this?
Oh, well.
I'm just asking. Is this why we can't get to the name, image, and likeness stuff because Emmert's working on these numbers? And what in the world are we doing on that stuff?
All right. Man. Where are we now? Are we ready?
Can we predict what the next number could be? All right. I'm ready to roll. I like this game.
It's like Wheel of Fortune, isn't it?
I like this game. You give us information and then we guess inaccurately. It's fantastic. I love it.
Before you folks ask, the cup that Packer's drinking out of is not available for sale.
And let me tell you now, I can't tell you how many times I've had people ask me about these, and they're great.
That's what I said.
Apparently, there's not like available. Seven of them that were made. Only seven in the world.
Ever.
Yeah, right. People are paying $5.2 million for Mickey Mantle's 1952 card. They'd pay $3 million for one of the seven plastic Dixie cups for the ACC Network on it. Revenue problems, we got you covered. You just need one of the seven of these right here.
Yeah, we get your revenue. All right, we ready or not? What do you think, Pack?
I'm ready.
You think we've taken the grid down?
I think we should do another segment
apparently
like
not.
This.
Yeah, do you? Me too.
Yes, sir. All right, let's look at this.
This has got to be the Hokies.
Wait a minute. Strength of record
rank. It's got to be the Hokies.
The strength of record rank has got me so confused. I'm not exactly sure what it makes so much. It makes as much sense as the BPI, which makes zero sense. Strength of record rank, 85. Net
Hokies or Louisville? What do you think?
I'm going to go Louisville here. Oh, hokey high.
I get one.
All right. Wes is on the board.
Called it. I'm on the board. I called it from the start.
Beautiful.
Boy, Villanova. Look at that. Three top or four top 100.
Well, I would say.
Look, I'm going to tell you, they're going to hold up. And let me say this about Virginia Tech real quick. They're going to hold up in the committee room. Just based on what you see right there on the ledger for one loss.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. I was just getting ready to say, after this 15-minute exercise, I don't think there's any doubt that we are certainly qualified to be on the NCAA basketball committee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to hold up in the committee room, by the way. Virginia Tech will.
Third
in the ACC, they could finish five or six in, and they're still going to hold up in the committee room. Somebody else may tell us differently, but they should hold up in the committee room, given how many games they've played, who they've played, and they're 12 in. We know 13 is the minimum, but they're going to get some more games in, knock on wood, and their slate right now would stand up in that room, given the climate of the rest of college basketball.
I'm going to combine two sports in one here. After going through the college football playoff mock selection a couple years ago, which was an incredible educational
experience. Yeah, it's a great experience.
Just to see. What we just did here in the last 15 minutes is what takes place in that room when we do football. It's the same thing with basketball. When you try to figure out who's in, who's out, and all that stuff, and you start going through those kind of metrics and numbers and what your eyes tell you watching a game versus here's what the numbers tell you. What we just did in the last 15 minutes, and again, this proves that we do not have the info prior to the event here, but this is what takes place in those committee meetings when they go, hey, I like team A better than team B. Well, how do they compare to team C? Those are what you look at. Those are the things you look at, and it will influence you in terms of, wow, I really thought A was better than C. Then you look at the numbers, maybe completely opposite. So the eye test versus the metrics – and the analytics, that was a perfect exercise of what you just saw in the last 15 minutes.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Packer and Durham. Happy 100. It is show 200.
Bruh, I've been here the whole time.
This is like a TV show. I mean,
we're the only ones that won a sports Emmy on ACC Network. If you got it, flaunt it. If you got it, flaunt it. We got it. We got the sports Emmy sitting right here. Right there in front of me.
I wore Chester and Fuller on show 100, and I'm wearing it again on show 300.
Yeah, you know, Debbie, you're playing into Debbie Antonelli's breakdown of you last night, and I don't like that because that's not really who you are. You know, Debbie took a
shot.
We'll
get to that later.
Yeah, well, Debbie took a shot.
Yeah, she did.
And so,
that's all right.
It's okay.
All right. Monica McNutt coming up bottom of the hour. By the way, it's National Hat Day.
Oh.
Pack.
Right there. Now we are reaching new heights. National Hat
Let's
Day.
Let's go. To,
Does anybody have a better
let's
hat
go
than
to
that?
Bristol, shall we?
Jen Hoover getting it done.
Let's go to Bristol, shall we? It's time for Over and Under. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome one half of the Lumberjacks. There he is, the pride of Maine.
Entire Josh state?
Mike. Yeah.
Oh. Sure, why not?
Thank you. Over under three over under questions that we actually get in today. Well, let's see how we do here. First one, big showdown tomorrow, especially on the defensive end between Clemson and Virginia. UVA giving up 60.3 points per game, Clemson giving up 57.5. So over under 60 points for the winner of tomorrow's tilt.
Over.
Taking the over.
Yep, me too. Me too.
Taking the over. Don't know how many people they are actually allowing at Little John Coliseum, but I thought in the NC State game it sounded a lot more – sounded loud, like given the current climate. I think that matters tomorrow for the Tigers. I'm going to take the over on this, though, big time.
Yeah, listen, Virginia's got confidence after shooting lights out against Notre Dame, putting up an 80. They're going to be feeling like, hey, man, we could score. Both these teams can flat out play some D, though. And I just like the toughness issue from Clemson's perspective. But I think the number is going to be higher than that, too. Wouldn't surprise me. Both of them, be honest with you, are over 60.
There you go. There you go.
Good
we'll
game.
Take over.
All right, guys. Over under 75 people's eardrums that I blew out with the first question here. Moving on. So, over under 9.5 as the final margin for the winner of Florida State and North Carolina tomorrow. Now, the reason we ask this question is because all five of Carolina's ACC games this season, win or loss, have been decided by 6 or fewer, whereas all 3 of the Noles games have been decided by 10 or more.
Under 9.5 for me.
Under 9.5.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to think this game is like one of those 92-84 games pack, 86-80 type games, you know?
That's interesting.
I'm going to take under 9.5. I'm taking under 9.5, but don't literally ask me the over-under because that would be harder to project, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be under 9.5, and I don't think there will be the amount of points that you're thinking about. There's no way Florida State's shooting 71%. That's number one.
But I think they'll go up and down the floor. I think there'll be a ton of possessions.
I do, too. So I don't think the Noles will shoot as well, which is not going out on a limb, maybe ever in their lifetime. And I don't trust North Carolina making a lot of shots. I think Florida State's length and defensive intensity will cause North Carolina some problems, even though I think it will be an up and down game. So I don't think there will be as many points as you think, but I think it will be under 9.5.
How many empty possessions do you think there'll be in the game? Like combined turnovers?
I think a lot.
Okay. All right.
In fact, I think I said to you yesterday, Florida State attempted 87 shots at the basket against NC State. And I'm talking about field goals, 3 points, and free throws. They only missed 23 shots the whole day. I think they could miss more than that in the first half against North Carolina.
All right, next, please.
All right, we have Dana Evans coming on to join us in an hour and 2 minutes, approximately. Over under 2 more games this season that Ms. Evans scores more points than she plays minutes. She did it once already this year against UT Martin, where she scored 29 in 25 minutes of play.
Over.
Ooh.
Over.
Over 2?
Yeah. Yep.
I can't just take the number 2, can I?
No. Over or under.
Okay.
It's not same
I'll take over. I'll go over then. I'll go over. How clean is that stroke, by the way?
She's great, man. I love watching her play.
Yep. Can play.
I like her.
I'll take the over as well.
I don't know her. I've never met her. Now, she's been on our show 3 or 4 times. I just like her. I mean, she just seems like a cool hangout, right? She just got it together. She has her act together. And she's just tremendous on the floor. I mean, she can really play.
Yeah.
All right, guys, last one here. So we ended up hitting the over on number of questions. But over under 1.5 players from the same school to make first team all ACC in basketball. It's happened 0 times. The last time that there was only one representative from each school on first-team All-ACC was 2016-2017.
Under. Under. I'll tell you why. Let me give you my reason.
Why Wes is in deep thought.
I'm going to go under because I don't think we've got an alpha. So I think the wealth is going to be spread throughout the league. So I don't think there's a team that's got 2 dudes that you go, man, we can't deal with either one of them. I think there's a bunch of teams that have a guy. So I'm going to go under.
All right.
The answer is one.
I will take the under as well. Josh, file this one because we're going to come back to this. Keep this one in a file because we need to come back to this when we get to all ACC. This is a really good question.
Who could it be?
Well, I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. But just hold on to it because I like the – right now I would say four of them would be Amir Sims, Matthew Hurt, Carlique Jones, and Jay Huff. That would be four.
All right. Stop right there. Of those four teams, who is the next person on that team that's an all ACC player?
More than likely somebody from Florida State who we've not yet added to the list.
Hence, under.
I agree. That's why I'm saying the under now, but it's an interesting discussion for later as opposed to now. It's a great question now. It's an interesting discussion as to how it sorts itself out when we get to the voting itself.
I'll tell you what. I think the only way it's over is if Florida State doesn't lose another game and it's MJ Walker and Scotty Barnes. It's almost the only way.
I agree with you on that. I think MJ Walker and Scotty Barnes are the two guys that could be there together collectively right now.
But for that to happen,
if we were going to put two from the same school,
but for that to happen,
they got
to
run the table.
It's got to be 19-1, and they're not going to go 19-1.
I don't think so either. But then you have to split the vote between Walker and Barnes, and that's going to get interesting too. Yeah. You know what else is interesting? Basketball. Sunday night, right here on ACC Network, 8 o'clock Eastern. The first edition of Nothing But Net. It follows the matchup between Virginia Tech and Wake Forest. You get Kelsey Riggs. You get Coach Muffet McGraw. You get Carlos Boozer, Dallin Cuff, and Luke Hancock. One-stop shopping for hoops.
Overdressed. All of them. All five of them. That starting lineup, overdressed. Yeah. For NBN.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I have had a good time at the expense of Georgetown basketball this week because I had them 16th in the county. And the reason for that is they stink. And I'm tired of watching their highlights. But the only thing that's been good that's come out of Georgetown lately is our next guest. That's Monica McNutt that will break it down for you. Look at her. She knows it's true. Monica, what's happening?
Good
How
morning.
We doing? What's happening? You
I'm
doing
good.
All right?
Good morning.
Listen, every time I come on this show, y'all get me in a little bit of trouble. Last year, you had Coach Wes Moore calling me out in press conferences during the ACC tournament. And now you want me to talk trash about my school. But
No. We do not want you to talk trash. I'll talk trash about your school. You can defend it.
Oh, okay.
You can defend. I don't want you talking trash about it. Then you will get into trouble. If I'm running my mouth about Georgetown and they get mad at me, I don't care. But I don't want you to be touched. I want you to be up there on the top shelf, all right, with the Hoyas. Top shelf.
You're such a saint, Pack. I really appreciate it. There so what do you want me to defend? Come on, let it rip.
I don't want you to defend anything because you can't because they're not any good, all right? And hopefully they'll get back. Number one, I hope they get healthy and get back to playing. But number two, I don't need to hear him. I don't need any more hype about Georgetown basketball. They've lost five straight, but that's not why we brought you on the show. We brought you on the show to talk about ACC women's hoops. And I got to tell you, I am so bummed out that we're not going to get the showdown game Sunday because I think all of us, when that schedule was released, you said, hey, you know what? The chance of Louisville and NC State, when they hook up, could be awesome. And then NC State goes down, looks at number one South Carolina and goes, psh, next, what else you got? And all of a sudden we got ranked two, number three nationally. The buildup and, of course, COVID has been a problem for everybody. What a bummer, though, that we're not going to get that game this weekend. And maybe we don't get that game possibly till postseason time. Who knows?
Obviously, every time we step foot to do a game, not on the floor, in our homes, wherever we are, I make it a point to applaud the programs, players, coaches, support staff for getting us to this point. You got to tip your cap a little bit to schedulers and the conference. I am with you. I definitely hope we get the regular season version of that game, man, because we need it. I think NC State has been very, very impressive this year. The win over South Carolina really turned some heads. I was concerned about traditional point guard play, but I think Reyna Perez has done a great job of stepping in, as has Kai Crutchfield. They're just so balanced this year. I'm super excited about the sophomore, and Jada Boyd and Jakia Brown-Turner. I mean, it's super exciting. And then on the contrasting side of that, the team we're talking about in terms of Louisville, they continue to roll. And they really struggled to get games in this year. And they played last night, took care of Boston College. They're scheduled to play on Sunday. I think this will be the first time that they've gotten a pair of games in a week, in a minute. They've kind of been stuck in a one per week and every other game gets rescheduled kind of vibe. And we know Sunday's now going to be Florida State instead of NC State. But I really applaud all of the programs, but those two in particular, with the expectations that are on them, it shows that you have upperclassmen that understand the magnitude of the moment and how, more than ever, each game, each practice is something that should not be taken for granted.
Monica, when we look at the standings and see NC State and Louisville there at the top, and then based on play last night, Florida State is third, Georgia Tech, and then Syracuse kind of right in that next group. In your mind, who's the third best team in this league? Because Pack and I kind of said there's a line after Louisville and NC State, and we're trying to sort out maybe who's the next in class, if you will.
So, right now, I think it's still Syracuse, but they're also coming off of a pause. And so we haven't had an opportunity to see a lot of them, but the return of Tiana Monica Hia, is a big deal. But they've also got a big in Camilla Cardosa and Priscilla Williams, who are tremendous freshmen returning for them. Kiara Lewis is back at that two-guard spot. I really like what Emily Engstler did in the offseason in terms of losing weight and so that she could maximize her position. She was great off the backside, rebounding last year. She also hits big-time timely threes. Now she's doing a better job of getting to the rim and finishing. Syracuse is supposed to be that group, West, but there's also some conversation. I know we were buzzing last night on All ACC that Florida State has lots of question marks around it as a group. Bianca Jackson is a tremendous transfer. They've got size. We know that Coach Wyckoff is obviously a disciple of Coach Sue Simrau, and so it's going to be interesting to see what this group looks like under her. Is there enough time for them to still get hot? They've got some seasoned post players in Valencia Myers, and River Baldwin is playing well. Sammy Puises is shooting the ball really well. So I think you'd have to go Syracuse. We haven't seen that much of Florida State. I also think that you've got to pay attention a little bit to what Georgia Tech is doing and Coach Nell Fortner as well, though.
Monica, it's all cool right to talk about teams that are playing. We know Duke opted out of the season last month. Now news about Virginia. Your take on that and the impact it's going to have moving forward, not necessarily at the top in standings, but games, right? I mean, it's scheduling. We've talked about how difficult it is. You alluded to Louisville trying to find matchups and playing two games in 1 week. Now Duke out, Virginia out. Big picture, what's that look like ACC-wise?
Well, Coach McGraw brought up the great point. What happens to the records for teams that have played them versus teams that will not have the opportunity? I believe Virginia played two conference games. I think Duke might have played two as well. And what she's been told is that it will still stand in the win column. But that could get really tricky when we start talking about conference seeding. So that's one big question. I think in the big picture, though, Pac, sadly, I think for me it was a bit predictable. I know we're all giving it our yeoman's effort to navigate. But I think between the injuries that both of those programs had and then the battles with COVID, I was less surprised by Virginia once Duke did it, because I felt like it would be a school or program that had the cachet or a program that was struggling and it just didn't make sense. And I think those are the examples that we have here. Hopefully we don't see any more, but I think, and we saw it in the statements from Tina Thompson yesterday and Kara Lawson when Duke made their decision, the health and well-being, not just physically, of the student athletes has to be paramount. And sometimes that puts us in an uncomfortable position. Excuse me.
You know, Monica, the other thing was I had an athletics administrator tell me there are just way too many basketball programs at Division I to not have it happen, right? I mean, the football body of work is smaller, and we had some leagues that held off and started late and played a minimum number of regular season games. And in basketball, we were all going to try and start. But as Pack has said, the most important thing is to finish here. On the men's side, we know that's the NCAA tournament. gauge the women's game for me here. If this thing gets start and stoppish the remainder of the way, how do you think we handle that? How would you handle it as a former player? How do you think some of those coaches you talk to are going to handle this?
So if we start to get start and stoppish, ooh, Wes, that's no fun. And I actually think this perhaps is where media begins to come into play when you start thinking about the polls. If for whatever right. reason we couldn't get to conference tournaments, then I think if we had some sort of pause that didn't allow us to get to conference tournaments, but we were still going to go after an NCAA tournament, I should clarify. I think that's when polls start to come into play. I also think, at least for those at-large bids, then I think you probably look at your conference standings, which gets tricky because what will be the minimum number of qualifying games, right? I do know the net. My girl Kelly right. Gramlich is such a geek about the net. I am not up on the net, so I'm not about to try to go there. But between the net, the polls, and the conference standings, I think the NCAA would do their best to kind of move forward. For players, that goes back to one of those conversations where you would tell yourself, if a game came down to free throws, it shouldn't have come down to this. We should have taken care of the opportunities that we were given. And, you know, coaches, yeah. I'm sure they'll have their opinions. But I think if that's the best we can do, we would rather do what we can than not do anything.
Hey, Monica, real quick, what did you read from the outcome of games last night and what you see? Notre Dame knock off Wake, and they're kind of in that cluster of who's going to break through. And Virginia Tech, who's had so many close, tough losses, getting a really important win on the road at North Carolina, a North Carolina team that a lot of folks that we talk to say, hey, keep an eye on the Tar Heels. It was really an interesting night of results in terms of what you think or who could emerge from that cluster behind Louisville, NC State, and Syracuse.
Definitely. At the risk of becoming locker room material like last time I visited you guys, I'm so baffled by North Carolina. I'm not quite sure what they've got going on this year. They were a team that I was giving a top 25 vote at different points in the season, early on in the season. I was really excited to see what Janelle Bailey had done, Deja Kelly, that freshman at that point guard position. But they haven't quite been able to put it together. I think they got swept by Miami this season. They lost last night to Virginia Tech. It seems that they're still looking for their identity, and I get it. We talk about the identity of this year. On the flip side of that, Virginia Tech, I mean, that close loss to Louisville, close loss last week to Wake, I believe. I actually called that game. Why can't I think of who they lost to? Anyway, two very close losses down the stretch. And then yesterday, they finally get the monkey off their back, so to speak. But yesterday, Elizabeth Kittley had 14 rebounds. Like, she was in beast mode. Asia Shepherd, Georgia Amore, Kayla King, all efficient from behind the arc. If they can continue to score, and like this is sort of a duh moment if you're a basketball player, if you can score at both levels consistently, you've got your inside game working, and then your shooters are knocking down shots, they're lights out. But I got to give Coach Brooks his credit. Virginia Tech held North Carolina to 54 points last night, which was a season low for the Tar Heels. And I had said a couple weeks back on Ladies Night that they just needed to sit down and make up their mind to play some defense, because defense is straight up effort. And so I think they're starting to put it together on both sides. And Coach Brooks kind of jawed at me. He's like, yeah, man, I heard you. He's like, you're not wrong. Thank you. and then on the other side, Notre Dame, to me, they're a young group. And Coach Neo Ivy, we talked to her before the game yesterday. She said she had a moment where she took it all in. She's like, man, like, I'm the head coach of Notre Dame women's basketball. You know, all my years have led me here. And she really has so much gratitude about that. But she also has energy. And she's incredibly prepared. She's very proud of her relationships with her players. In fact, I asked her when she was at Memphis, what was the thing that she brought to the table that she was like, this is my thing? And she said it was her relationships with the players and player development. And I think that is going to show with her team. Maddie Westfeld is a beast. Mm. And like, the freshman of the year conversation is going to be tight this year when you look at what Haley Van Lith is doing. But Maddie is the real deal. And I think if Notre Dame continues to take steps and grow and mature, sure, there's there's a picture in which they sneak up and could be that third or fourth team. But they've got to do it consistently. Whatever they're going to do, they got to do it consistently. And then Wake Forest, Coach Hoover's doing a great job with them. We saw in the loss against Notre Dame that Ivana Raza, who is one of their go-tos, struggled a little bit with the size that Notre Dame threw at them. But Gina Conti went off and hit 8 threes in that game. So every night is not your game. But I think that the Georgia Tech and Wake Forest are names that are sort of sneaky to me.
Got it. You're all over right. it, as
Monica
always.
Monica McNutt, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for the time. See you soon.
Indeed. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great show.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, it is a Friday. We have reached the weekend almost. Do not let this jacket tie deceive you. It is the 300th show, and we have defeated the odds. Speaking of odds, stats, we've got that for you too, West Durham. One stat per game.
Yep.
Get it all over you.
We're going to start on the ladies' side pack with Miami and Syracuse. Syracuse is first in the ACC and tied for third nationally with 7.2 block shots per game. Miami is tied for ninth in the ACC, allowing 3.2 block shots per game.
Block party.
Details.
Yep. You just heard Monica
McNutt. Look at that one.
You just heard Monica McNutt talk about Syracuse. She still thinks they're the third best team in the league. Okay. This, to me, is going to be the intriguing part of the women's side. We know who the alphas are with NC State and Louisville.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is who's going to emerge to be the 3, 4, 5 spots, right? That's kind of where we are.
Yep.
So, again, good ballgame. And there's a lot of teams to choose from for that 3, 4, 5 spot in the ACC women's race.
Yep. Wake Virginia Tech, we told you it's on our network here on Sunday afternoon. The Hokies boast the highest scoring duo in the conference in Asia Shepherd and Liz Kitley, who combined to score 35.5 points per contest. Wake Forest has two of themselves, Ivana Raza and Gina Conti, at 32.1 per game.
Terrific win for the Hokies.
Went crazy last night.
Yeah, a good win for the Hokies last night. Going to have some confidence after all those close losses. And I'm still on record. Yep. Every time Gina Conti misses a free throw, I will give money to the Wake Forest women's favorite charity moving forward. All right? So keep an eye on that. Give us something else.
We're going to outline that next week on the show, by the
way. She's missed three this year. She missed one last night. Doesn't happen very often. So
that's
$3 million
being contributed to.
Hey, and let me tell you, if you thought I was crazy, I had to go get some gas in the Ford F-150 last night, and I did partake with the Mega Millions and the Powerball. I normally don't. When it hits over, when we go over $500 million, I'm in. So I got a couple of those. So let me tell you, if I get lucky this weekend, every time she misses one, I'll give her $1 million to the Lakes charity. I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm in.
Got it.
For $1 million for every missed free throw. Guaranteed. Right.
Boston College and Notre Dame's women get together this weekend. A season ago, the Irish were dead last in the ACC in three-point shooting at 27%. This year, 38%. Second in the ACC and 23rd nationally. Boston College is fifth in the conference in three-point field goal percentage defense. Opponents just hitting 27.4 from behind the arc.
So we got a heavy.
Game is played at the line,
it's really a BC Notre Dame basketball weekend, isn't it? Men and women.
Yes, it is. Yep, you got it.
Doesn't happen very often, does it?
So, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. But it's good though. Let's transition to the men, ironically. And how about some analytics for Boston College and Notre Dame's men? The KenPom strength of schedule rating for Notre Dame this season is the highest of any ACC team. The next highest strength of schedule, according to the rating from the ACC, is Boston College at 15. Notre Dame is number one in the ACC in strength of schedule. Boston College is second.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
They meet at 4 o'clock here on ACC Network.
Yeah, I hear this from fans all the time on the radio show. Man, we play a tough schedule. I said, man, a monkey can schedule a tough schedule. The object's to win games, right? seriously, a monkey could schedule a brutal schedule. The object is to win the game. And that's why I told you, BC Notre Dame men, that game feels very much to me like Miami at BC this week. Where, hey, BC, you got a zero in the win column? You better hold serve and win one of these. I feel the same way with Mike Bray. He's 0 stinking 5, right? You got BC coming to town. Notre Dame needs to win that. I'm not telling you it's a must win. It's a need to gotta have a wanna win is what that is for the Irish.
These two teams are a combined 1-10 in the ACC and 6-17 overall.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Give you the update. Syracuse and Pitt also meet for a second time tomorrow, 1949-50. Since that time, the team that Syracuse has had the most success against is Pittsburgh. They are 64-41 against the Panthers.
And that's great.
61% winning percentage.
That's great, because the last time, if you'd have said that stat at halftime of the game, you'd have gone, well, same old, same old. And then Pitt came back and said, cool, we're going to spot you double-digit lead and beat you in your home court. So chip on shoulder if you're the Orange this weekend.
There you go. So that's the stat for that. The last one comes from Louisville and Miami, who play tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here on ACC Network with Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee. Louisville is 6-0 at home against Miami, but only 5-4 on the road in the series. There you have it.
All right. That's fine. That's great.
That's fine.
I mean, you know, to me that – you know why I say that? And I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but Miami's just got to get warm bodies. I mean, they're just not healthy. If Miami was healthy, I would tell you that is something to keep an eye on. And I expect him to play hard, because Jim Larrañaga, like I told you, has done a great job with what he has to work with. He's just got to get likes in the guys back and then all of a sudden go take it and see where it goes. But Louisville's playing too well. They're not a hole either, but you got to like the cards on the road.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.